ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानन्दना सदकेव चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकरामयं ददाति स्वपदन्तिकम् श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जन्मनन्ते ज्ञानवमं प्रवाद्यन्ते वासुदेवसुपमिति समात्मसुदूरम्. It is after many, many births that one comes to the point of knowing Vasudev Sarvam Iti. Krishna is everything. This aim, Krishna is everything, is the aim of life. To understand simply that Krishna is all that is really important. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, there are so many fires, and one might say, first I have to put out this fire, and then I'll turn to Krishna. But then I have to solve that problem. Then I'll turn to Krishna. Then I still have a few more problems to solve. But then I'll turn to Krishna. So bhavanam janmanamante, many births in this way have continued. Many lives, so many things to deal with. But finally, after so many, it came to the point of Vasudeva. Sarvam iti. Krishna is everything. That is our central theme of the day. That is the underlying principle of the initiation. That we see behind things. That we see deeper. Deeper than face value. Deeper than just the external forms and shapes in which the material energy presents itself. Oh, and the mind goes, nice. And the mind goes, oh, not nice. Sankalpa vikalpa, sankalpa vikalpa. Accepting, rejecting. Oh. But we see behind. We see behind all these temporary manifestations. Behind the changing of the seasons, behind the changes that never seem to end, behind the endless waves of the ocean, behind we see Krishna. And that we see that Krishna is constant, that Krishna never changes, that Krishna is eternal, and we see that we are meant to be in an eternal relationship with Him. Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. That Krishna is everything. We begin to understand. And how much more is Krishna everything? The source of all pleasure. Savai Rasa. It is taste. It is pleasure that we will experience in our relationship with anything. That's what life is. Some toys, something to play with, something to experience, something to discover, somewhere to go. And we are in relation with people. I feel completely like a new person since I met you. In relationship with, we change. This place, I don't know. This place, no. I have to go. Oh no, not this place, no. Something, I don't know, but what's wrong? Everything is nice. No, something. The vibes, you know, vibes, what are the vibes? There are no vibes here. Oh, there are lots of vibes here, let's go. It's all right. I don't know, vibes, what are you talking about? Vibes, what vibes? So, different situations, they bring out different aspects of our personality, different aspects of our nature. But we, deep down, something is the same. It's Krishna. It's our relationship with Krishna. That relationship is still there, always there, in any condition, it is there. That is, the initiation is aimed at strengthening that awareness, at making it deeper, making it stronger. Smartavyam satatam vishnu vismartavyam najatusit sarvavidhi nisedushur etiyo etikinkara. All the rules and regulations, all the positive injunctions and all the prohibitions of the Vedic literature are simply meant for one purpose, to always remember and to never forget Krishna. So that's the very purpose of our actions, of our initiation. There are favorable activities, and there are unfavorable activities. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vajanam. One has to give up the unfavorable. Just as when we enter in the temple, the shoes stay outside. And that's the symbol for so many things that stay outside. Not only the shoes. If that was all, it is a bit more. So, whatever doesn't fit, what is not suitable, that pratikulyasya vajanam, that we reject. But accepting is the essence. Just like fasting is not the main thing. Fasting is the opportunity to sort of not spend our whole time with digestion and with meditation on what we're going to have for breakfast. And then, well, that's the pre-breakfast, then the breakfast, then the kind of snack in between breakfast and lunch, then the after-lunch kind of digestive aid, then the tea break and the snack leading up to dinner, and then just a tiny little, you know, snack in the evening, just sort of to make it through the night, you know. All that. And then on the day that we are actually fasting, on that day, we are not preoccupied. We're not preoccupied with these things. So that is good. But that's not the essence. The essence is to be free for the positive, for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So Vasudeva Saram Iti. Krishna is everything. To put Krishna in the foreground. An initiation is not an external ritual. To some extent, it looks quite ritualistic, an arrangement. Of course, it's exotic, the colors, and of all things, we're going to make a fire in the middle of the room, which is kind of, you know. My mother was already worried at Christmas about the candles. She was like looking in all directions if it was okay. So a fire certainly is impressive. The door is open for the smoke, for escape routes and smoke also. So no anxiety. Yes, it looks ritualistic. And ritual has a connotation. It's just ritualistic. It's just external, kind of. But it's not just external. Actually, the initiation brings about a real transformation. Not so much through hocus pocus. It's not the amount of smoke that is going to make the change. Although the smoke is auspicious, and the grains that will be thrown into the fire while mantras are chanting are purifying all those who are partaking in that activity. So it's not ritual. There is actually something happening. Karma is relieved, but that is not the main purpose. The main purpose is deeper. The main purpose is actually that one enters into a ceremony as one person, and one comes out of the ceremony as another person. It doesn't really happen like that. It does, because the thing that happens is one comes out of the ceremony with a new responsibility. And that just makes a huge difference. Vows are taken. At this stage of the ceremony, we are leading up to the vows. I like to compare the taking of the vows to a situation where the candidates are sitting in little boats in the ocean, and we are just now preparing for takeoff. So we are packing the boats. You say here are the instructions, here's the instruction manual, here's your emergency kit, here is, you know, your whatever you need on the little boat, and we're just sort of making sure that everything is there and that you know how to use it all, and that's what this talk basically is. And then at one point, when everything is sort of really nice and peaceful, and due to the monotonous sound of the speaker's voice, the mind starts to go sort of in default mode. Just then, suddenly we give that little boat a push, and then you're alone on the waves. So it's exciting. Absolutely. It's adventurous. It certainly is. It takes courage. It is the path less traveled, right, as they say. Not that so many are going this way. the vows are vows that commit us to standards of purity, of compassion, of truthfulness, and for the exit, which one am I forgetting now? I said purity.
Austerity.
Yeah. Austerity, it's not that we are into austerity, but life is into austerity. Right? I mean, that's how it is. It's not that we are necessarily looking for it, but you don't have to look for it. It comes looking for you. So, and then, when it comes looking for you, how do we deal with it? That is what we are talking about. So, some principles we are accepting. Principles, then we try and remain balanced and equipoised and peaceful, not so affected by the externals. That is austerity. Austerity also means we are respectful to seniors and teachers. Austerity also means that we are, that when all the conditions are actually right, that then we try to be satisfied. The mind is never satisfied. Even when you have what you need, the mind is still thinking, but yeah, what are we going to do, and so on. The mind is never peaceful. So, austerities are part of life. Purity is required. Then, and compassion. Why base our happiness on the suffering of others? Why be insensitive? Let us be happy. Let all be happy. Let all living beings be happy. Therefore, the vows include vows of eating no meat, fish or eggs. Let us be committed to truth, because one who is not committed to truth is first of all fooling himself, is living a life of falsity, and then fooling others also. So truth means not just speaking the truth, but living it. Living by ideals. Living not just let life sort of happen like a river that kind of floats. Because where do the rivers go? Downstream. Downstream. So if we just have no purpose in life, where will it lead us? We just find the path of the least resistance, which will bring us down naturally. So ideals means to set goals. Initiation is an interesting time, because we're going to take some vows, and in these vows we are basically promising to behave in a way which is higher than what we would naturally do. Otherwise, why would we have to take vows? Otherwise, it would be easy. So the vows are sort of make us function on a higher level. And the vows are potent. The vows are made to Krishna. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, because we cannot see Krishna. We can see him in his deity form, but we cannot have a very active communication with the deity. But the spiritual master is very active in communicating with us. So he is the representative of Krishna, who is active in our life and who can tell us what to do. But we're not making the vows to him. He's only a representative. We are making the vows to Krishna. And such vows, therefore, are very serious vows. Because such vows to God, one cannot take back. So they're given, then they're given. Even if we want to take back, he will not let us. That is there. But that is all very positive and all very nice.
Is that all right? So I'll ask you all to say a few words. No, if you don't mind, just to bless all the Kenyans.
So today there's first initiation and second initiation. So the first initiation is where we are making the sambandha, the formal connection with Krishna. That is where we vow to give our life to Krishna. The second initiation is where we are increasing the quality of our offering, where it is no longer just about what to do and what not to do, something external, but where it is also about developing qualities of saintliness, saintly character. So that's not so easy to develop a saintly character. It's like, it's one thing to say, no meat, fish or eggs, etc. Okay, that's clear. You know when you're doing it, you know when you're not doing it. But to be equipoised, to be sense controlled, to be tolerant, and these are all things that are difficult. So therefore the second initiation, in a sense, it's a lot more work. The first initiation, all right, you have to just fix yourself and then do it. In the second initiation, we have to try and develop the mode of goodness. It's hard to be in the mode of goodness when you are afflicted by passion and ignorance. One can passionately try to be in the mode of goodness. I'm now going to be in the mode of goodness. My goodness. But that would do good in a Shakespearean drama, but it's not real. So to really come to goodness is challenging. Srila Prabhupada gave an interesting solution, which is we must associate with the mode of goodness. And that made it, when I read that, it's sort of, okay, now I got something practical, Yes, I like practical things, and that just felt, yes, now I can do something about it. Otherwise, how am I going to be in goodness? But by associating with goodness, in all kinds of ways, one comes to goodness. That makes sense. So that's there. The first initiation is about committing to chant the holy name, to give up sinful activities and to make a commitment to chant the name of the Lord, a fixed number of rounds, and to avoid offenses in that matter also, in these offenses in chanting are, yes, a positive, respectful attitude. So to get the full benefit, if one is, that's what it means, offenses. And it is required to respect the Vaishnavas. It is required to appreciate that the name of Krishna is unique, because only by worshipping Krishna can one attain the eternal destination, not by any names or any demigods or any other deities, but by the name of the Supreme Lord. And awaken one's eternal love for him. Third offense, disobey the orders of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is is acting as Krishna's representative, representing the scriptures, and he applies it to our conditions. And we must have the faith to somehow or other take his words very important. So whatever he says, all right, that is important, I must follow it. That spirit of never taking whatever the spiritual master says as casual is very important. Fourth offense, blaspheme Vedic literatures. One must appreciate that Vedic literatures are all originally coming from Krishna. However, still there's a distinction amongst Vedic literatures. Some are regulating the three modes of material nature, Trigunya Visaya Veda, Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna. Others are transcendental and leading us to the spiritual world directly. Those are the ones that we are interested in. And Srila Prabhupada particularly emphasized the reading of the Bhagavad Gita, the Nectar of Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita as our principal books. And fifth offense, sixth is this time already, sixth I think, and we're to give an interpretation on the holy name of the Lord, to come up with one's own idea of the meaning of the name and look for some mystical meaning. That's not required. Krishna is the son of Nanda and Yasoda. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're not looking for any symbol. Krishna is not a symbol. Krishna is simply what he is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Seventh offense, commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name is a thing. What happens then? If we chant Hare Krishna and think, now I can do anything, I'll be purified anyway by this chanting, then Krishna will withdraw from the name, and then all that we will have left is an empty shell. He will just and we'll say that name, but Krishna will withdraw his mercy, and then we can chant Bhamam Jamam Tegyalabhamam Pravadyante Vasudeva Subhamiti. Then we can chant, not that was the wrong word, Bhamam Jamam Nakari Ari Shravana Kirtanam Tumitana Paya Prema Adanan. We can chant then for so many lifetimes, and we will still not get the result of this chant. The eighth offense is to think that this chanting is a karmakanda ritual. Karmakanda rituals are rituals, Vedic rituals, that solve material problems. So to think that now I'm chanting and now everything will become easy, and how is it possible that, you know, that these things are happening to me now that I got initiated? No. This chanting will not necessarily fix our material problems. The chanting will awaken our love of God. And material problems may come and go, as long as Krishna still thinks we need some further purification. And in the material world itself is perplexing by nature. Yeah. The very material world is a perplexing place. So that cannot be changed, no matter what we do. Ninth offense, instruct the faithless persons about the intimate meaning of Krishna consciousness. We can tell people chant Hare Krishna. We can tell the basic philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. They're not the body, eternal spirit soul, eternal servant of Krishna. That is fine. Tenth offense is to maintain material attachments even after receiving so many instructions on this matter. That is also there. Not maintaining material desires. Being ready to let some things go and to say, for a higher ideal, I give up some of my material desires. Otherwise, this chanting will not bear fruit so quickly. So that we have to keep in mind. And thus, there's a sacrifice. And to not be inattentive while chanting. So those are the 10 offenses. Then furthermore, there are many devotees who have come for this occasion, and also there are devotees whose presence will be invoked by the chanting of mantras, such as all the previous acharyas, and all of them carry blessings. So the only way that we can possibly bring this these vows to success is by always looking for blessings. I mean, how can we possibly promise something for life? How do we know what life will look like in the future? How can we possibly follow these principles for life by always looking for blessings? It is these blessings of the devotees that will lift us up very much so. And blessings from devotees come by serving devotees. So these are the things that we keep in mind. And so we ask all the devotees who have come to give their blessings on this occasion. And that will help. I think maybe some family members also come, right? I'm thinking so. We want to also welcome the family to this. And of course, they are not new to this, because the initiations don't happen just out of the blue. There is plenty of time that goes in preparation. It is said that if one person in the family is taking this step, then that person blesses the whole family. That person brings the greatest wealth into the family. It's like in every family there are different family members, and some are very successful, and they always had the best degrees, and they got the best jobs, and they are the success. But actually, the one who is taking initiation today is actually the cream of the cream. And why is that so? It's like, well, in my family, I'm not the most popular person by far, you know. What to do? Such is life. But I tell you one thing, whenever there's a crisis in the family, whenever they have trouble, then I'm really popular. At that time, they suddenly like me a lot, and they always say, please say something. You always say such wise things on these occasions. I appreciate it. Yes, it goes beyond saying wise things. Those who take initiation, they bring actually auspiciousness to the family members. Actually, the whole destiny of the family members becomes uplifted. Just see it like this. You have at least one in the family who has some credits with God, you know. And that doesn't harm. It comes in handy at times to have somebody who's well connected. Yeah, you know. So in that sense, it's a great blessing also to have somebody like this in the family. So that is very nice. We are a family of devotees, and here we have one of our leading members in the Cape Town devotee family, His Grace Madhavi Prabhu, who has been here for many years involved in leadership, and who is who has all along been a spiritual leader, a powerful spiritual leader in this yatra, and a direct disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and who will also offer his blessings by saying a few words.